Today on Real Life Radio.
It doesn't take the Bible reader, my friend, very long. When you begin to open the Bible, you begin to quickly find, if you're a Bible reader, you open up the New Testament or Old Testament for that matter, and you begin to understand and to conclude that the Bible says that He is a God of love, He's a God of grace, and He's a God of forgiveness.
Welcome to Real Life Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David J., thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Life Radio, Pastor Jack now continues his series called The Book of Revelation with a message titled, When the Judgment of God Comes. You know, judgment doesn't have to be our future. The Lord has made a way of escape, and He's ready to forgive with abundant mercy all those who come to Him. You see, it doesn't take someone who reads the Bible very long before they realize that God is a God of love. He's a God of mercy, grace, and forgiveness. But there will be a time of God's judgment, and it's going to be like no other time on earth. And when that judgment comes, there'll be a silent pause in heaven because of what Jesus is about to do. So today on this part of the message, Pastor Jack tells us that whatever's about to happen on earth, it causes complete silence in heaven, a silence that you can feel because heaven is about to witness the wrath of God against a world that has rejected Christ. And now in his message called When the Judgment of God Comes, here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
Father, as we come before you this morning, Lord, we pray that you would set our hearts to know thy word. And Lord, as we look to your word this morning, we are absolutely convinced that without you magnifying your grace and mercy to the text that it's before us, Lord, we would be overcome with what is revealed here. We pray now that you would touch and open our hearts and minds, those of us who are Christians, to the wonderful fact that we're not going to see this stuff that's coming in chapter 8 of the book of Revelation. To those who do not yet personally know you, that in a very serious way, this could be their demise. This could be their future. Unless, Lord, today they yield their hearts to you. So, Father, we come and we approach this holy word with a lot of reverence. And, Lord, quite frankly, in a sense, with fear and trembling as we consider God's judgment that comes to the earth as we look to the book of Revelation chapter 8 this morning. In Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen. Grab your Bibles and turn, if you would, to the book of Revelation chapter 8. And we are looking at when the judgment of God comes. And we've been looking at the seven-sealed scroll that we've been studying about for so many months now. The Bible tells us that Jesus was there before the throne of God, and God had in his hand a scroll written on the outside and on the inside and sealed with seven seals. And we've all learned and studied how that seven-sealed scroll is a testament. It is a will. And it is also, we know, a title deed. It is a legal document that God holds in heaven. And we remember that as we looked at the scriptures, there the announcement was made by the angel, and John began to weep bitterly, that when the angel called out and looked for someone who was worthy to open and loose the scroll and open the seals thereof, nobody was found in heaven worthy. And for that, the Apostle John, in his grand vision, began to weep. And as he wept, the Bible tells us that an angel approached John and says, "Weep not, for the Lion of the tribe of Judah, that is Jesus, has prevailed." And so the Bible says that Jesus went to the right hand of God the Father and pulled that scroll out of his hand and began to open those seals. And there's seven of them. And so this morning we come to the seventh seal. Now, I don't know how. I wish I had a prop. If I would have been thinking, I could have put one together. But each of these seals, as you look at a rolled up scroll, if I were to take this bulletin and roll it up, it's like so. And out of each of it are seven seals. When Jesus opened the first seal, it revealed certain requirements. That first seal, when it was opened, led you out unto the next seal, which was the second seal. When Jesus opened the second seal, it gave more and more information. When he came to the third seal, it yet gave more information, and so on, until now we come to the seventh seal in Revelation chapter 8. When he opens the seventh seal unveils, note takers, mark it down, the seventh seal unveils the seven trumpet judgment of God. So watch me. We've got seven seals. When the seventh seal is open, we've got seven trumpets. And when we come to the end of the seventh trumpet will open up the seven bowl judgments of God. So in a very technical way, it is a scroll wound up with unveiling or unraveling judgments. And these are very serious things. And so we look at the title this morning, When the Judgment of God Comes. Now, those of you who might be new, I don't know what to tell you. I'm glad you're here, but boy, do you have a lot of catching up to do. Because of the fact of the matter is, if you believe in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, by now, in Revelation chapter 8, you don't live on the earth anymore. You will have gone home to be with Jesus by rapture. The Bible says that the church will have been caught up and taken away. Then the Bible says that the Antichrist is going to be revealed. He's going to come out of a unification of ancient Europe or the old Roman Empire. The book of Daniel, the book of Revelation tells us that this man of sin, the Antichrist, will be a political global leader arising out of the ancient Roman Empire. And he will begin or attempt to rule the world. And you all know his trademark by the Bible. It says that he will engineer a 7-year peace treaty with the nation of anyone? Israel, says the Bible, not Canada, not America, Israel. And his platform will be a unified European Union. I want you to write this down. I want you to not believe what I'm about to tell you because I couldn't believe it when I heard it. But as you know, I am a news junkie. I am hooked on news. And I scan the channels and I look all the time for news that applies to Scripture. And lo and behold, yesterday at around 4 to 4:15 on channel 366 on DirecTV. That is News World International. Yesterday was a grand day for the unification of Europe. Did you know that? Anybody? Anybody you know? Yeah. A few of us, 10 more nations joined the European Union, now putting down and overcoming the United States and Asia in its gross national product and its ability to purchase. It became the largest economy in the world yesterday. And now the European Union, if you look on a map, and by the way, go home, go online and look at the European Union, it is now closer to the Roman Empire now than ever before in human history since the time of Christ, since yesterday. And I kid you not, go look and see if you can find it in print. The reporter said, and I quote, "Now with the addition of these 10 nations, the symbolic flag of the 12 stars simply represents the beginning nations of the Union, much like the United States and its 13 stars regarding the original 13 colonies. Now, today, on May 1st, the European Union has become a huge beast with many heads." Yeah. When I heard that, I said, "Lord, come quickly." If you know your Bible, the Bible says in the last days, the ancient Roman Empire will be reassembled and it will be a beast with many heads rising up out of it. This guy either A, had to know his Bible, or B, didn't know it at all, because he never would have said such a thing unless he knew his Bible, which was A. God is moving. I'm excited. The book of Revelation chapter 8, you need not be concerned with it if you're trusting in Jesus Christ. You say, "Well, why study it?" Because we don't want to be stupid. God gave us the Bible. We want to know it from chapter to chapter, from verse by verse, book to book. So we look at it together. When the judgment of God comes, Revelation chapter 8, verse 1, when he, that is Jesus Christ, opened the seventh seal, there was silence in heaven for about a half an hour. And I saw the seven angels who stand before God, and to them were given seven trumpets. Then another angel, that's an eighth angel, by the way. It's an angel of the same kind, but it's an addition to, an eighth one, number eight. Having a golden censer, came and stood at the altar, which was given much incense, that he should offer it with prayers of all the saints upon the altar, the golden altar, which was before the throne. Verse 4, and the smoke of the incense with the prayers of the saints ascended before God from the angel's hand. Then the angel took the censer and filled it with fire from the altar and threw it to the earth. And there were noises and thunderings and lightnings and an earthquake. Verse 6. So the seven angels who had the seven trumpets prepared themselves to sound. And verse 7 down to verse 13 is hell on earth. The first angel sounded and hail and fire followed, mingled with blood, and they were thrown to the earth, and a third of the trees were burned up, and all the green grass was burned up. And the second angel sounded, and something like a great mountain burning with fire was thrown into the sea, and a third of the sea became blood, and a third living creatures of the sea died. And a third of the ships were destroyed. Verse 10, then a third angel sounded, and a great star fell from heaven, burning like a torch. And it fell on a third of the rivers and on the springs of water. The name of the star is Wormwood. A third of the waters became wormwood, and many men died from the water because it was made bitter. Then the fourth angel sounded, and a third of the sun was struck, and a third of the moon, and a third of the stars, so that a third of them were darkened, and a third of the day did not shine, and likewise the night. And I looked, and I heard an angel flying through the midst of heaven, saying with a loud voice, "Whoa, whoa, whoa!" He's not riding a horse, by the way. He's declaring, "Danger, danger, danger," or "damnation, damnation, damnation to the inhabitants of the earth because of the remaining blast of the trumpet and of the three angels who were about to sound." It doesn't take the Bible reader, my friend, very long when you begin to open the Bible. You begin to quickly find, if you're a Bible reader, you open up the New Testament or Old Testament for that matter, and you begin to understand and to conclude that the Bible says that He is a God of love, He's a God of grace, and He's a God of forgiveness. When we come to chapters like this in the Bible, I got to confess, as a pastor teacher, I want to hurry right through it. I want to pass it up. These are not the chapters that cause prolific church growth. Church people, believers and non-believers do not want to hear about judgment. Unless we understand the scripture and why it's given, we will hear answered prayer. We will see God answer prayer, and the prayer that God answers will be His vengeance upon the earth. And for many of us in the West, that's hard for us to understand because we don't quite understand it. Maybe those who live closer to New York City can understand a little bit of what is called imprecatory prayer. Do you remember when King David prayed? You know, God loved King David. King David loved God. You know that? Before we think ourselves to be so high and mighty, keep something in mind before we judge David. You say, "Well, I don't agree with all of David's prayers." Well, God does. And there is a type of prayer that is a holy, righteous type of prayer. I am not saying that we should pray it, but I am saying that we often feel it. We just have to make sure that our will is yielded to the will of God and that God is the one who exercises judgment, not us. Are you hearing me? It's got to be of God. David prayed prayers like this: "Lord, I hate my enemies with perfect hatred. Therefore, break their teeth off in their mouth." And all God's men said, "Amen." I mean, that's like a war prayer. For those of you who have seen the movie Saving Private Ryan, there is that one Christian who's portrayed in the movie, and he's the sniper. And he's quoting over and over again Psalms, the Psalms of David, before he pulls on the trigger. You might say, "Brother, I don't even want to think like that because I'm a Christian. I pluck flowers, I hug birds. And look, I'm with you on that, okay? I understand that. But my friend, listen, there is a fact, and it is a truth, and we don't want to agree with it, that God will someday bring judgment. We're living in an age of grace right now, and we can be thankful for that. There's going to come a time when God consummates His grace, and then the time of judgment will come, and God will answer the prayers of those who have asked God to avenge their blood. That's what the Bible teaches. You may disagree with that. I understand that, and my emotions agree with you, but nonetheless, God is a loving God, He is a holy God, and He's a just God. And it is God who, in perfect love and holiness and righteousness, is the only one who can exercise judgment. Did you know that? Keep that in mind. Psalm 86, verse 5 says, "For you, O Lord, are good, and you are ready to forgive, and you are abounding in mercy to all those who call upon you." So don't get any mistaken view of God this morning. He's a holy God, loving God, but a just God. Jeremiah 31:3. Yes, I have loved you, God says, with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness have I drawn you to me. Hebrews 7:25. Therefore, he is also able to save to the uttermost those who come to God through Christ. Revelation 1:5. For it is Jesus Christ who is the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead, and the ruler over the kings of the earth, to him who loved us and washed us from our sins in his blood. God loves us. And so when we hear about judgment, we're tempted in our mind's eye to see this old man, right? With a long beard, wearing a white robe, and he's got a sandwich board on, and he's walking, and it says, you know, repent for the kingdom of God is at hand. You know, judgment's coming. We get this view in our mind, but the truth of the matter is God is righteous and holy, and he brings judgment. Sometimes we mistakenly think that God is judging right now in the age in which we live in. He is not. John 16:33 says, these things Jesus spoke unto them, saying that in me you will have peace. In the world you will have difficulty or tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. There's going to come a time in the great tribulation period when God will give power to the world in evil. It will run its course, but then God will bring judgment. And so we need to be careful. Those of you who are note takers, before we dive into our points this morning, this is exactly what Jesus was warning about in Matthew chapter 24, verse 21. Jesus said concerning Revelation chapter 8, all the way out to verse 19, for then there will be great tribulation, such has never been seen since the beginning of the world, even until this day, nor shall ever be. And unless those days will be shortened, no flesh will remain. But for the elect's sake, those days shall be shortened. And so now we see Jesus, who has the scroll, and he opens now the seventh seal. And we come to our first point this morning. It is found in verse 1. When the judgment of God comes, there will be a silent pause in heaven. A silent pause in heaven. This section is of great preparation. When he opened the seventh seal, there was silence in heaven for about a half an hour. What's interesting about this is in eternity, the very nature of eternity, there's no time. But the Bible says there's silence for about a half an hour. How can we reconcile the fact that where God dwells is eternal, but John says a half an hour? Easy. John is seeing a vision. John is being revealed the things of heaven to come and the things of earth to come. And it is announced to John, it is shown to John that there is a pause of a time for about a half an hour. And it is, by the way, the word in the Greek for silence, it is a silence that can be felt. Have you ever felt a silence like that? You may be tempted to say no, but if you've ever been, anybody ever been on a jury? Have you raised your hand? I don't know what it is. I think I need to commit a crime. I get called for every jury that I can't believe it. I get called. And I've been a jury foreman. I've been on juries. I've been on murder cases. You know, when you commit a crime, you don't have to be on a jury. I've been tempted. I mean, every time I go to a mailbox, there seems to be, and I know some of you police officers I've contacted, and you say, get me out of this way. I have no time to be a pastor of the church if I keep responding to these jury notices. Well, if you've ever been in court, not so much for me because I wasn't the one on trial, but man, when you are called there and you come into that room after your deliberation and you're seated there, and then the judge turns and he says, have you reached a verdict? If you've ever been there, it is an ominous moment. It is dead silence. It's a silence that can be felt. Why? A verdict is about to be given. The defendant stands. Have you reached your verdict? We have, Your Honor. We find the accused, and you read it. And there's silence until it begins, so to speak, until his sentencing or whatever it might be, the verdict is given. Then people either weep or however it goes, but there's a silence that you can feel. There's a time of silence before all of this judgment comes. And what does that mean to us? Understand this, especially those of you who may be visiting this morning or you're not sure about God's goodness. God is, in this moment of silence, announcing that God does not delight in judgment. Did you know that? The Bible says that God has created hell for the devil and his angels, not for humans. God doesn't want people to go there. This is an ominous moment. So there's a pause, there's a silence. Dr. J. Vernon McGee, the highly respected Bible teacher, says that it's from this verse that we know that there will be no women in heaven by the fact that there's silence for a time of 30 minutes. I better keep going. Until now, we've been reading in the book of Revelation from chapter 1 to chapter 7, great noise, great worship, great praise, great adoration. And now there's a great moment of silence. Why? Because God does not delight in judgment, but judgment must come. And so there's a pause. Verse 1, we consider a few things and then we'll move on. The first point is that there will be a silent pause in heaven because of what Jesus Christ is about to do. Jesus is the one who will preside over the judgment of God. It's Jesus who opens the seventh seal, and there is that silence. Listen to this. Luke chapter 4, beginning at verse 14, says, "Then Jesus returned in the power of the Holy Spirit to Galilee. And the news of him went out throughout all the surrounding regions, and he taught in the synagogues, being glorified by all. So he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. And as it was his custom, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day, and Jesus stood up, and it was handed to him the book of the prophet Isaiah." This is Jesus' first public sermon. Listen carefully. It's in direct connection to chapter 8. "And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written." That's Isaiah chapter 61, by the way. "And Jesus said," verse 18, Luke 4:18, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor." Did Jesus do that, everybody? Yes. "He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted." Did Jesus do that? Yes. "To proclaim liberty to the captives." Did he do that? Yes. "The recovery of sight to the blind." Did he do that? Yes. "And to set at liberty those that are oppressed." Yes, he did that.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Life Radio, in his message called "When the Judgment of God Comes." So glad you took the time to spend with us today here as we study the book of Revelation. "When the Judgment of God Comes" is part of Pastor Jack's series called "The Book of Revelation." It's a series on the final book of the Bible and the unveiling of future events for us and for the world. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Life Radio. All right, this is David Jay, and I have Pastor Jack in the studio with me. How you doing, my friend?
I'm doing good, Davey. Good to see you.
So, our book of the month, it's incredible. It really is. But man, is that a title and a half, right?
Okay, the book of the month is incredible.
Yeah.
And the title is incredible.
It's incredible.
In fact, listen, everybody, I don't want to scare you away by the title. So listen, here goes. It's Socialism. That's the title of the book.
Yeah.
The subtitle is "The Real History from Plato to the Present, How the Deep State Capitalizes on Crisis to Consolidate Control." And that's by William Federer. And I know that's a whopper, everybody. And you're thinking already, I'm tired from reading the title. Please, please get this book. Number one, I have to tell you all, if you're going to buy any book on socialism, this is the one to buy, because he is a researcher.
Yeah,
and
true.
He does his yep. homework, and it is exhaustive. It is encouraging, because he's going to let you in on how to identify and really find out what in the world your kids are being taught in their public school system. So this is a must for our Book of the Month friends.
So, Pastor, my friends that might not understand the concept of socialism or how dangerous it can be, would you say this might be a book to refer them to, or something I can use to equip myself in order to respond to that?
There is no doubt that this is the book for that very thing. Number one, his credibility as an author just stands alone.
Right.
Everything's footnoted, so you can check and see. But absolutely, yes, socialism is here. It's in America. If we don't stop it in the next 5 to 10 years, it will be the new politics of America. So it's not only a great thing to know, yes, it's a great thing to pass on to others.
Socialism, The Real History from Plato to the Present, written by William J. Federer. It's available at jackhibbs.com for a gift of any amount. That's jackhibbs.com. This program is made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Life Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time here on Real Life Radio.